I called the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Air Force. There's no
Yo. One. Hey, my loves. Welcome back to The Fix, the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life, coming straight from the South. It's your homeboy, Joseph Ward, bringing you the realest way to consume sports today. Going down. How y'all doing out there in the world, in the land? Hey, man, remember to tell a friend, about the Fix Sports Podcast and the Freedom Train Network. Our website is www.freedomtrainradio.com. Hey, man, y'all know what I always want to do? I always want to do the voice, like be one of them deep voiceovers for like the beginning of the movies, like the movie previews and the commercials. A long time ago, deep down in the forest, was a man who wasn't fucking nothing. I'd be wild. I'd be true. But nah, but I always want to do that voice thing. Like, hey, so any of y'all need some little voiceovers and stuff like that, holla at me. I got you. Hey, remember, the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants, where they provide African history directly at your fingertips. So you don't have to go out and looking for the information that you're trying to find, because On the Shoulders of Giants has done a pretty good job of compiling over 150 profiles of your sons and unsung heroes throughout the African diaspora. So all you need to do is visit www.ontheshouldersone.com, and that way you can get to your home for African history and learn more about your sons and unsung heroes. Remember, www.ontheshouldersone.com. Yeah. And remember, the Fix Sports Podcast, as I said earlier, is a part of the Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com. So make sure you visit every Monday. You will get this here, the Fix Sports Podcast. Every Wednesday, you will get the Freedom Train Podcast series, the actual podcast from the Freedom Train, the namesake podcast. Also, you will get a live recording of the show, the live show of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Erica Tolbert. Then on Thursdays, you will get Lessons from the Screen with Patrick Irvin, as he breaks down information given to you through different documents that are all different mediums, like documents, movies, documentaries, TV shows, whatever that you can capture through a screen. www.freedomtrainradio.com. All right, so the first story, you know how we like to start off our HBCU spotlight, right? That HBCU spotlight. Oh, let me give you a little rundown first. Let me give you a rundown before I really get into it. So our HBCU spotlight, we're covering three Southern graduates who are now NBA referees. Our HBCU news, I'm going to introduce you all to Marcus Robinson and why he didn't choose the University of Alabama. The Tungas have an Olympic skier who, the last time you seen him at the Olympics, he was all oiled up and doing Taekwondo. Arizona Cardinals have a black head coach. Vince McMahon is trying to bring back the XFL. And we know next week we got Super Bowl, so we got to talk about Super Bowl this week. We're going to get more into it next week as it comes down. give y'all the story about what happened with Florida State's quarterback, DeAndre Francois, and the accusations of domestic violence, give you all the ups and downs of that. We'll talk about the NBA All-Star game and the shakeup that they did in the picking of the All-Star teams. We got Team LeBron versus Team Curry, and right now Team LeBron looking like it's going to kill Team Curry. Also, more LeBron James news. LeBron James has reached 30,000 points. We're going to talk more about that. My weekly rant will be aimed at pussy-ass, nasty-ass Larry Nassar. And I got a lot of questions. In the second part of my weekly rant, don't have nothing to do with sports. But it got a lot to do with a lot of people coming out and talking bad about the comedian Monique. You might not agree everything she's saying, but I'm going to do some cussing. So y'all stay around for that. So, like I said, our HBCU Spotlight is here, and we are putting our spotlight on three gentlemen: C.J. Washington, Beanie Adams, and Courtney Kirkland. Right? 37 University A&M college graduates made NBA history as referees through their mutual connection during the Spurs and Nuggets game over the weekend. For the first time ever, C.J. Washington, Beanie Adams, and Courtney Kirkland were all graduates of the Southern University A&M college. They refereed the actual basketball game, right? And so that's history for HBCUs because, I mean, you know, when we talk about sports for HBCUs, you know, we're mostly talking about the athletes themselves, right? And not necessarily looking at what all comes from sports holistically, what sports can bring, right? And so to have these three gentlemen refereeing his NBA games, and then all by happenstance serendipity popped up, and these three gentlemen, all from Southern, are refereeing the same game. That's pretty big. So that means black excellence is happening across the board. You don't just have to be the actual athlete to get this HBCU spotlight, right? Because HBCU spotlight surrounds all happiness within sports. So we want to make sure that we give you guys y'all due. Washington is from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Adams is from New Orleans, Louisiana, where Kirkland is from Flint, Michigan. All three men got their start officiating Louisiana high school sports, and Adams has the most experience as he's been refereeing 23 years. So like I said, they worked the Denver Nuggets, San Antonio Spurs game last week. And it's pretty cool. I came across a story. I actually got this story from swagherd.net. And to learn more about swagherd.net, make sure you go to the interview on the Freedom Train podcast series that Patrick Irvin and I did with Francesca Fancy Fails, who is the founder and owner of swagherd.net. And so I was scrolling through social media and I actually saw this story. And of course, you know me, I'm always looking for something to put into my HBCU spotlight. So, C.J. Washington, Beanie Adams, and Courtney Kirkland, we're going to show y'all some love the way we do it around here at the Fix Sport Podcast. So, man, little shirt, my audience, y'all show them brothers some love. Show them brothers some love. C.J. Washington, Beanie Adams, Courtney Kirkland, one time for your mind, one time for your mind. One time for your mind, one time for your mind. One time for your One time for you. Mickey. Mind. Yeah. All right. So that is our HBCU spotlight. Now this is half HBCU spotlight, half HBCU news. So highly touted Bama recruit talks commitment to Grambling State. And once again, something happened where Grambling ended up in my HBCU Spotlight World News. Shout out to Grambling State. So Maurice Robinson chooses the better option for him. Holding more than 10 FBS offers, including one from reigning national champion Alabama, as well as LSU, Florida, Florida Atlantic, Tulane, and others. The Mobile, Alabama native said he never let all the talk and hype about him affect his recruitment process. With a clear head, Robinson looked at all his options and made the best decision for him and his future playing football, verbally committing to Grambling State last Sunday. It was a hard process from the start, Robinson told the News Star Monday. I had big colleges looking at me. All of that could get into your ear if you don't take care of the process the right way. It was an easy decision to make. I didn't really fall into the light they shined on me. I didn't get into the hype they threw at me. All right, Marcus, all right. Grambling was a real and direct, and I respected that from the start. That's what finalized my decision. So I'll give you a little more information about Robinson. Robinson is the 19th best high school recruit out of Alabama for the class of 2018, according to 24/7 Sports. Has played quarterback at Murphy High School since his sophomore season. During his senior campaign with the Panthers, the 6'1", 180-pounder amassed 1,686 total yards and 18 touchdowns through 9 games. He is currently running track, competing in the long and triple jump, as well as relay events. He sports a 40-inch vertical and has recently run a 4.35 40-yard dash. Rated a 3-star athlete prospect, Robinson said he told Grambling head football coach Broderick Forbes that he wanted to help the G-men out on the defensive side of the ball at the safety position. His 3 years of experience playing quarterback will help him at the next level, he said. I'm an athlete, and they asked me where I want to play, and I told them I want to be on the defensive side because I know I can make it at the next level. Robinson will now will sign on Monday, signing day on February 7th. He said, I already have the skill set and ability of what any DB can do. Having that mindset at quarterback, it will help me be able to read defenses, and it will give me an upper hand. I'm ready for it. That's what's up, Marcus. So y'all give it up for Marcus, man. For now, this is what I've been actually saying on this show, and this is what we've been talking about. Top recruits choosing to go to HBCUs. Now, this whole process is twofold. On one end, we want to encourage the top prospects to go to HBCUs. And on the other end, we want to encourage HBCUs to improve the chances of these prospects going to the next level, which means improved facilities, improved conditions, improved relations with scouts and all these things, that improve visibility, improve marketing, all these things across the board need to happen so the HBCUs can rise. Because black people need to be around black people doing black things, getting embraced by black people and loving black people. I've given these crackers all our money, all our talent, and all our resources. Yeah, you get your $140,000 degree, but you done made these crackers $4 million. That don't add up. And they keep trying to tell you, well, you got a chance to get a degree. Well, you get a degree to get money, fool. Nobody gets a degree just to say, I have a degree. You get a degree to get money. But if it's about getting money, I don't necessarily need a degree. Now, if I'm going to be making a school money, I should be making black schools money. And then that makes this whole scenario threefold, because now it goes from the community and maybe fourfold. The community holding the university accountable for all the new money that's coming in to make sure the university is using that money to improve the university and the community, and also the university holding the community accountable for helping to make the university better. It goes both ways. It's not just a one-way street. So, Marcus, you the man. You know what? We want to give Marcus a round of applause for his decision, for his parents and everybody in the upbringing. If Marcus make his decision to go to Grambling State, and I wish Marcus much success. And that's good for Grambling, because Grambling had a damn good year this year. So Grambling's going to be better. And they snatching talent like that. Sheesh. Look out. North Carolina A&T, y'all better look out, because Grambling said they're coming back for y'all, boy. Coming back, hey, man. So that's what it is. All HBCUs, man. Start getting this talent. All right. So that's my HBCU spotlight. So I want to talk about these 2018 Olympics. And it's funny because you got these Winter Olympics happening, but you got all these hot climate nations starting to bust up at the Olympics. So we know we got the Jamaican bobsled team And, oh, yeah, my man, I was talking to my man Pat. If in last week's show, if the way I worded my words implied that the 1988 Jamaican Olympic bobsleds didn't happen, they did happen. Cool Runnings was based off a real movie. I watch Cool Runnings because I like it. But it's based off a real movie. And so, 88 Olympics, now 2018 Olympics, you have a women's Jamaican bobsled team. So shout out to both teams, right? So we got Jamaica, we got Nigeria, and now we have the Tongas. Tongas, Peter Tua Fadofua. Peter Tua Fadofua. Tua Fadofua, Tua Fadofua. Tua Fadofua, Tua Fadofua. I got his name right. All right, so Tongas, Peter Tua Fadofua qualifies for skiing at the Pyeongchang Games. So if you don't know who Peter Tua Fadofua is, if you seen the last Olympics, he was the dude from Tonga doing the Taekwondo who came out in the initial ceremony all oiled up and shit with the grass skirt on, all oiled up and shit, right? Like they're trying to look like he a stripper or something like that. Like he got the barge on the track or something like that, right? So this is the storylines of it. In what's being pitched as a Pacific version of the hit film Cool Runnings, Tongan Peter Tua Fadofua has qualified for the cross country skiing event at the Winter Olympics. Hey, before I get, let me read this first, and let me get into some shit, right? Making the feat even more remarkable, Tua Fadofua is already a summer Olympian, having competed at the 2016 Rio de Janeiro Games in Taekwondo, right? What did I say? Did I say Taekwondo the first time? Taekwondo, I said it this time. Not only is there no snow in the Pacific island of Tonga, but Tua Fadofua only saw snow for the first time in his life 2 years ago, and Buddy had to teach himself how to skate, too. He had to teach himself how to skate and ski, and Buddy just did that recently, right? After Rio, I decided to find the hardest sport possible because I needed a new challenge, and the hardest sport possible was cross-country skiing, the 34-year-old told the Olympic Channel. Not one for doing things the easy way, Tua Fadofua left it until that very last day of the qualification period to reach the required standard for the Pyeongchang Games. And they got a picture of him all oiled up with his Tongan flag, South Pacific Tongan flag, with his tribal garb on. Not that he didn't have a grass skirt on, he had the tribal garb on. I thought it was a grass skirt with tribal garb, but he all oiled up, looked like he finna go strip. But, in one final bid, he traveled to Iceland in search of points he needed. The goal was to get it done in 1 year, and he did it in 1 year. He learned how to skate and ski in 1 year. 20 years after I sacrificed to become a summer Olympian, and 1 year to become a winter Olympian. Wow. So, from Taekwondo to rollerblades to snow slopes, Tua Fadofua made headlines at the Rio Games as Tonga's bare-chested flag carrier at the opening ceremony. He went on to lose his opening round Taekwondo bout at the Games to Iranian Sajjad Mardini, 16-1. Soon after, Tua Fadofua turned his mind to skating and would now become just the second Tongan athlete to participate in the Winter Games. For those that missed it in Rio, you guys are going to know where Tonga is now. Better known for its tropical climate and rugby prowess, Tonga is now the easiest place to launch a skiing career. Tua Fadofua began by practicing on rollerblades before moving on to snow slopes overseas. He said qualification was about more than just him. That's big for Tonga. It's all about us, he said. It's only special if it inspires somebody else to become something bigger than themselves. One time for Tua Fadofua. I wonder if he's going to go to the Winter Olympics with his shirt off all oiled up in Pyeongchang. He should. If I was him, I would. I show up oiled up if I was him. But one time, Peter. One time for you, P-Dawg. P-T. But what I was going to say, man, you know, I get tired of white people acting like they can't pronounce people's name who not white. White people got some of the longest and complex names with 100 syllables. Because when I first heard about the story of Peter, you know, listening to ESPN Radio, I forgot the show. I show I was watching. Maybe Go Lick and Wingo, maybe. And they were acting like they couldn't pronounce dude's name. But you can say Mike Krzyzewski, but you can't say Tua Fatafua. And if you look at the name, T-U-A-F-A-T-O-F-U-A. Tua Fatafua. Maybe, see, white people be acting like they can't break down syllables and shit, man. That's what I don't like. And then the black person will succumb to all the white foolishness and say, well, just call me Rachel. Just call me May. Just call me M. Nah, call me my name, fool. Don't call me what you feel like calling me. Can I call you bitch? You call me what you want to call me, and I'm going to call you bitch ass. How about that? Make these white folk say your name. If these white folk don't want to say your name, start calling them out their name. And I guarantee you they'll start saying your name or leave you alone. Make these white folk say your name. One time for Peter, two or for the fool. Alright? So, I want to move on, get to a little football, talk about a little football, right? The Arizona Cardinals got a black head coach, and what is his name? Steve. Steve Wilks is the new head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. I think he was the defensive coordinator for the Cardinals. Yep. So the Cardinals have found their new head coach as they will hire former Carolina Panthers defensive coordinator Steve Wilks to fill the top position. Team announced Monday afternoon they got rid of Bruce Arians. Wilks gets his first head coaching job after several years with the Panthers, most recently serving as their defensive coordinator. We all know how good the Panthers defense has been over the years. That Panthers defense is the strength of their team, right? Wilks apparently impressed among some nice scenery as well. Who is Steve Wilks? That's what this article is saying in the SB Nation. Wilks has an extensive coaching background going back over 20 years, mostly an assistant or coordinator positions. Before taking the Cardinals job, his only other head coaching experience was at Savannah State in 1999, one time for Savannah State. All right, so HBCU, little news, all right. However, Wilks has a strong history as a defensive coach, specifically the secondary. He was defensive backs coach for the Chicago Bears, San Diego Chargers, and Panthers. In 2017, Wilks took Sean McDermott's job as Cardinals defensive coordinator while also being assistant coach to Ron Rivera. The Panthers' defense was once again strong, not missing a beat, while going from McDermott to Wilks as coordinator. They ranked 7th in yards allowed, 11th in points allowed, and 7th in DVOA. I don't know what the hell DVOA means. I don't even know why they spelled that shit out like that. The secondary took a step back since Josh Norman left in free agency, but was overall better than average. So this is asking, why did the Cardinals hire Steve Wilks? The Cardinals had the NFL's 6th best defense in 2017 season in terms of total defense. With Wilks, there's an opportunity to refine and even improve that defense into one of the NFL's elites. And it's not, and because, and I like that move from a defensive standpoint because the Cardinals have athletes on the defensive side of the ball. The Cardinals have too much talent on their team to be up and down, up and down, up and down. The Cardinals be one good 1 year and down the other year. Good 1 year and down the other year. Good 1 year, down the other year. So hopefully Steve Wilks can come in and turn things around over in Arizona. The black man going out doing what he needs to do. And definitely improving that defense. Definitely with Pat P out there in the corner, then you got the honey badger at your safety. I can't sit here and act like I know a whole lot of other players on the Cardinals. I do wonder what Larry Fitzgerald would do. Carson Palmer retired. So things can happen. We know you got Sam Bradford, Bridgewater. I mean, we just don't know what's gonna happen. So we're just keeping our eyes out on what's gonna happen in the NFL's upcoming offseason after the Super Bowl happens between the Patriots and the Eagles. But Steve Wilks, man. So we're going to be looking. Okay, so it's what's up, man. It's what's up, Steve. I wish you well, Steve. I really do wish you well. I personally don't know much about Steve Wilks. So I'm going to be learning over the months and the years, I'm going to be learning more about Steve Wilkes. But, hey, man, I got a story about a black man becoming the head coach in the NFL. That don't happen every day. It ain't like every day NFL teams are going out trying to hire black men as coaches. So, one time for Steve Wilkes. Yeah. So, in further football news, the XFL is set to make its return in 2012. Vince McMahon and the XFL, the Extreme Football League, is coming back. So I think the XFL first debuted in, what, 2001? Yeah, 2001, 2002, when I was graduating high school. And it was the Extreme Football League, a football league that had different rules. And the league only lasted a year. The most notable player was Rod Smart, or He Hate Me. On the back of the jerseys, you could put whatever you wanted. So the guy Rod Smart, being the best marketer of all the players, he put He Hate Me, and basically created a campaign around his whole He Hate Me persona, and became the most notable thing about the XFL outside of Vince McMahon. And he parlayed that into a NFL career playing for the Carolina Panthers. The league failed. It wasn't that successful. It didn't have that much talent. So we're going to see what happens this time around. It's going to happen in 2012, so you got 2 years to get his shit together. I'm sure Vince McMahon has been working on this for a minute. We're going to see what happens, man. We're going to see what comes. We're going to see what's coming up, what comes from this XFL. Now, black people, this is a great lesson for us. Like Aaliyah said, if at first you don't succeed, dust yourself off and try again, right? The XFL didn't succeed the first time, but here Vince McMahon is back again. Black people, let's get our own league, start our own league, and let's get our players and our talent into our own league. And if at first you don't succeed, dust yourself off and try again. You can dust it off and try again, right? We need our own league. I'm not mad at Vince McMahon for trying. In my mind, I'm guessing he's trying to take advantage of the people who are boycotting the NFL over the protests. Because it seems that from conversations I had, and I haven't read this to confirm it, but it seems that Vince McMahon may try to force the players, make it mandatory that players have to stand for the flag. Of course, you know Vince McMahon is a proponent of white supremacy, right? If you didn't know Vince McMahon was a proponent of white supremacy, then you're crazy. But of course Vince McMahon is a proponent of white supremacy. So of course that would be one of the first things he'd say is, well, we're going to make these niggas stand for the flag. You know, we're enforcing their white shit. But let me read this article to you. This is from ESPN. WWE founding chairman Vince McMahon announced Thursday he is giving a professional football league another go. It will be called the XFL, the same name of the league McMahon and NBC tried for one season in 2001, but it won't rely on flashy cheerleaders and antics as its predecessor did. I can't say the goddamn word. Predecessor did. McMahon said he is the sole founding source for the league, which is slated to begin in January of 2020. Its first season will have 8 teams around the country playing a 10-week schedule. The initial outlay of money is expected to be around $100 million. The same amount of the WWE stock McMahon sold last month and funneled into Alpha Entertainment, the company he founded after the project. I want to do this since the day we stopped the other one, McMahon told ESPN in an exclusive interview. A chance to do it with no partner, strictly funded by me, which would allow me to look in the mirror and say, you were the one who screwed this up, or you made this thing a success. McMahon told reporters on Thursday afternoon that he has had no initial talks with media entities. One mark of the new league, McMahon said, will be faster games. The ideal running time, he said, would be 2 hours. As for the timing of the announcement, 2 years before the league's debut, many might point to McMahon's relationship with President Donald Trump, who this fall criticized the NFL for allowing his players to kneel and sit during the national anthem. McMahon said players in his league would not be given the forum to take personal stance while on the playing field. McMahon's wife, Linda, heads the Small Business Administration in Trump's cabinet. See? McMahon and Trump, they suck dick together. Right? People don't want social and political issues coming to play when they're trying to be entertainment, man said. You don't want someone who wants to take a knee to do their version of that on their own personal time. But nobody had a problem with Tim Tebow praying. See how these crackers be? Despite his relationship with President Trump, McMahon told reporters he had no idea whether President Trump would support this. Stop lying, McMahon. You know goddamn well you and Trump talked about this. You a lying motherfucker. McMahon said being the only owner of all the teams would allow him to do whatever he wants and probably fuck the league up again. I can say here are the rules, and as long as you're playing football in the stadium for us, you follow these rules. And it's funny, like, McMahon really, like, you're going to get third and fourth rate players, maybe fifth and sixth rate players. Most people going to go to the NFL, McMahon, right now. Black men, don't go play for some crack-ass cracker like Vince McMahon. McMahon also said he would preclude any player with a criminal record. He's lying. Man, you got wrestlers with criminal records. You got wrestlers with criminal records. You got wrestlers who get in trouble wrestling. A criminal record ain't never preclude a wrestler. Hey, McMahon, stop. I want this league to fail already. I will not be watching the XFL already. McMahon, see this is the shit I be talking about with these cracker ass crackers that we fall in love with, cause they entertain us, man. This shit that Vince McMahon got laying out already in the way he presenting this, he already like trying to drop his little cracker nuts on black folk already. And it's going to be the black men who are desperate to play football who sign up for this shit. McMahon is basically saying, come sign up for me to be your daddy and me tell you how to live your life. If you got an issue or problem, I don't give a fuck. You can't do nothing about it because hell, I'm your daddy. I'm Vince McMahon. You signed it on the dotted line. That's crazy, man. That's crazy that Vince McMahon has already put into play these little cracker rules that he want for the XFL. I mean, we know where he went wrong the first time. Just trying to be stupid. Like, we know that. We know that he went crazy. He went wrong the first time just trying to be stupid. But I don't know, man. I don't like the tone of this. He's saying we are evaluating a player based on many things, including the quality of human being they are, McMahon said. If you have any sort of criminal record or commit a crime, you aren't playing in this league. Stop. Hey, man, but you stop lying, Vince McMahon. Stop. Come on, man. Vince McMahon, you full of shit, man. Vince McMahon. Oh, man. So now this article is saying McMahon was asked about like players like Kaepernick, Tebow, and Johnny Manziel. And he said Manziel, the former Texas A&M quarterback of the Heisman Trophy winner, had some legal issues. Manziel was charged with a misdemeanor that carried a penalty up to 1 year in jail and a $40,000 fine, yada, 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 yada. You want someone who does not have criminality. And it's like, so you could be associated with white supremacy, but you can't be associated with somebody who's been arrested, right? That's what basically what you're saying, Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon and his XFL league, which we know he's going to be going after black football players, right? We know Vince McMahon will be going after black football players. But Vince McMahon is proud to flaunt his relationship with Trump and white supremacy. But Vince McMahon is saying when he starts the XFL, if you have a criminal background, you've been arrested for these things, that you won't be allowed to play in his XFL, which is sounding like it's going to be a real garbage league. And what this XFL to me sound like is it's a white dude who really wants power, really wants it, and his thing is, I want to have total control over this league and tell these black people what to do and how to run around with these balls in their hands and do what I tell them to do. Because I'm a white dude who got insecure issues and a God complex. That's really what Vince McMahon is saying, that he's a white dude with a God complex, right? So, don't play in the XFL if you're black. If you're black, don't be so desperate to play football that you sign up for this bullshit XFL league. Right? Don't do it. I'm telling black, and I'm going to be standing strong from right here on my platform. Don't play for the XFL if Vince McMahon want to be a tyrant and tell people that they can't. Because you know, people are going to have criminal backgrounds. You know, black people are going to have criminal backgrounds just because of the system of white supremacy and this so-called justice system and how it's set up. Let's not act like we don't understand what's really going on here. Let's not act like we don't understand how the system of white supremacy and criminality, how the system of white supremacy acts and how criminality is applied to black people, especially black men. The black man is the quintessential criminal if you leave it up to white America. Right? So come on, man. Come on, Vincent. Vincent K. McMahon. The K is for KKK. I guess. You cool with Trump. The pussy grab. Trump is a sexual predator. You cool with him with sexual predation. But not cool with somebody who's been in jail. Alright. Alright, Vince McMahon. Enough about that. So let's talk real football. Let's talk about a real football league. Even though we're not excited about NFL and the bullshit that's going on. But, hey, man, Super Bowl is here. And we have the Patriots and the Eagles. And it's going to be an exciting game Sunday, February 4th at 6:30 p.m. on NBC. Right? It's going to be exciting to see if Thomas F. Brady is. And William F. Belichick could go bite the bite. Hey, right? So the Eagles and the Patriots, just off of being a Cowboy supporter, I want the Patriots to win 43-0. The only thing that's real that I'm really digging out of Philly right now is my homie, Professor Carl Tone Jones, out of Philly. But other than that, Philadelphia Eagles can kick rocks as a Cowboy supporter. Do I expect the Eagles to win? No. Do they have a chance? Yes. The Eagles have more talent on their team than the Patriots. But the Patriots have a better organization, if that makes sense. Patriots have the best quarterback. Eagles have better skill players. Eagles have a better defense, even though the Patriots and the Eagles both have top five defenses. The Eagles have better talent on that defense. The question is, can Nick Foles get the job done? Because if I'm the Patriots, I'm going. Well, see, because even look at this, because with the Eagles, let me finish my statement, all right? Because you got Jay Ajayi and LeGarrette Blount, so both of them can make you hurt. Especially they both are rolling, so I would make Nick Foles beat me. If I was the Patriots, I'm taking away the run. And I'm taking away Alshon Jeffries. And I'm going to make Nick Foles and his second and third receivers beat me. Can Nick Foles and his second and third receivers beat me? That would be the question. Because Nick Foles is the backup quarterback that has done a decent job since Carson Wentz went down. And Carson Wentz was the starting quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles if you've been living under a rock. Carson Wentz got hurt, I think, week 10, 11 in the season. And Nick Foles have been carrying the or in the quarterback position ever since. But the Patriots, though, man. Coaching, we already know we're going to get a coaching nod to the Patriots. Bill Belichick. Well, pretty much, I think McDermott is the coach for the Eagles. I think. I might be wrong. But Bill Belichick is definitely a better football coach than the Eagles coach. Tom Brady is definitely a better quarterback than Nick Foles. I think as far as what the Patriots have overall, that's where it really stops. I think the Eagles are a better team talent-wise, but the Patriots may be a better team execution-wise and scheme-wise. So we're going to see how this matchup. The experience definitely goes to the Patriots. They've been there. It was there last year. The Patriots always going deep into the playoffs. So for somebody like a Malcolm Butler, all he knows is Super Bowl or playoffs. Cause what? Four out of the last 5 years, three out of the last 4 years, he's been to the Super Bowl. So, you know, the Patriots, hey man, a lot of people don't like to see winners continue to win. I do. I like to see winners win and just win big and continue to win and win big and just flaunted in people's faces. I do. I really like seeing it. If you don't like seeing winners win, it's probably because you're a loser. Because losers are the only people who have a problem with winners winning and continuously winning. I don't give a shit about no underdogs. Right? Because all juggernauts were once underdogs who kept winning. So it's cool to be an underdog, but man, damn all that. Damn being the person who's rooting for the people who are not good enough to be on top. Be good enough to be on top. Stay on top. That's one thing I do like about the Patriots is they good. And they're consistently good. So I want to see I guess it will either be Malcolm Butler against Alshon Jeffrey or they will have double coverage on Alshon Jeffrey. But you know Alshon Jeffrey, a grown ass man, I know. So I'm just saying, even though I'm a Cowboy supporter, don't sleep on these Eagles in this game. I will not be, even though I expect the Patriots and I will be pulling for the Patriots, I do not expect. Let me say it like this. If the Eagles win, I won't be surprised. If the Eagles win. If they win, I won't be surprised. I will be upset as a Cowboys supporter. I want the city of Philadelphia to go a lot longer without a Super Bowl trophy. I do want that. I don't want them to have the Vince Lombardi trophy. But I won't be mad. I just don't want it to happen. Being a Cowboy supporter, being that we missed the playoffs again. But, you know, it's a little hate. I ain't gonna lie. It's a little hate. But hey, it is what it is. So, shout out to the Patriots and the Eagles. And, you know, next week, you know, we're gonna give you a little more breakdown on what's going on. So, I just like watching the Super Bowl, man. I ain't going to front. I just like watching the Super Bowl. But I will say this. The Super Bowl is in February. Let's not act like we don't know it's goddamn Black History Month either. Don't let football games and NBA All-Star and the Oscars and the Grammys and all these other motherfucking award shows and all these other events and shit that's happening in February distract your ass from Black History Month, which you should be celebrating every day if you're a black person. Just want to tell you that. So, moving on. So, last week, this week I was scrolling through social media, and I learned about a story involving FSU's quarterback DeAndre Francois and domestic violence issues. And the interesting thing is everything was wrapped up within a week. So this is from the Tallahassee Democrat, our local newspaper here in Tallahassee, Florida. Let me read this to you. The investigation into an alleged battery of a pregnant woman by a Florida State quarterback hopeful DeAndre Francois ended when neither was arrested. Francois called Tallahassee police at about 6 p.m. Tuesday after a fight with his girlfriend at the South Laponia Road home they've shared for the past few months. DeAndre lived close by me. Both were interviewed and told dramatically different versions of what happened, according to the TPD report of the incident. Due to the conflicting statements and lack of independent witnesses, officers did not make an arrest. Francois told police he and his friend were hanging out when his girlfriend showed up and started to argue with him. She began to break things inside the house, he said, and tried to rip the TV off the wall. She told police Francois became upset over a friend of his trying to talk to her. She said he broke down the bedroom door, according to the report, picked her up and threw her on the ground, cutting her forearm and tried to kick her out of the house. Francois' girlfriend said she did not wish to press charges and that he should have known she was pregnant because she told him in the past. She said she was about 9 weeks pregnant. Uh-oh. She threatened to call the police multiple times during the fight, according to the incident report. She advised me she did not want Francois to get in trouble, but she did want me to speak with him and scare him a little. Officers wrote in a 4-page report. That's not good. She also said he smoked weed earlier. Come on. Francois said he grabbed his girlfriend in a hug in an attempt to keep her from breaking items in the apartment, and the cut on her arm came from a vase she smashed during the fight. He said she told him she was pregnant but not provide the paperwork to prove it. Francois' friend, now this boy's name is the kicker. Listen to this boy's name. Zaquandre. His parents named him Zaquandre. Zaquandre. The boy name is Zaquandre. So Francois' friend Zaquandre White, an FSU running back, confirmed his account. He said Francois only put his hands on the woman when he tried to prevent her from breaking things in the home and when he had to defend himself. Francois was absent for most of FSU's season following an injury and missed FSU's senior day, blah, 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 blah. So, according to the information, 9-week-old pregnant girlfriend came and got into it. Now, it's not a lot of information in this, and they say charges were dropped, no one was arrested, and all these things here. Seems like a dispute happened and kind of went out of hand and all these things here. Now, the part that I'm reporting on is how the media painted him as a domestic batterer automatically. So it seems as nobody's going to be arrested, no charges are going to be filed, everything is just going to go away. But it's not going to go away because it's still going to be attached to Francois' name. Another case of unhealthy relationships. Two more people in unhealthy relationships. I don't have enough evidence to really go in on this one. Charges were dropped. Stories were given. Of course, they're going to be conflicting. Instead of going in, I'm going to give advice. I'm going to be Big Brother advice on this one. I'm not going to be let your ass have it, Joseph. I'm going to be Big Brother advice on this one. First and foremost, DeAndre, find out if you really have the young lady pregnant. And if you do really have the young lady pregnant, you and her need to seek some kind of counseling. If you are going to remain in a relationship, you need to seek counseling. If you're not going to remain in a relationship, but you do have a child that's that you two produced. If that is the case, you need counsel. And the reason I said this, because overall, at the end of the day, this is about these two creating the most healthy environment for that child to be raised in. And it's not about some he say, she say, he's trying to win, she's trying to win. Both of them need to be thinking of creating a healthy environment for the child. If that's not going to happen, y'all in for a world of hurt. If you were not, if the young lady is not somebody you were trying to build a future with, you shouldn't have took the condoms off. You shouldn't have been in a relationship with her. I don't know how and why this incident happened. I do know it happened. And I say both DeAndre and the young lady need to get counseling, because something ain't right. If this is how they're acting, something ain't right from both sides. Y'all need counseling. That's not how you resolve issues. And we do know somebody in this case is lying. We don't know who. They're trying to make it seem as if the young lady is lying. I don't know. Somebody's lying, which makes it worse. But I don't know, man. Counseling, help. Because for some reason, a lot of people are attracting bad people into their lives, and they can't understand for the life of anything why these bad people are being attracted into their lives. But it's happening. People are being attracted into our lives, not my life particularly, but into our lives that we don't want into our lives, but you attract who you are. Big Brother Advice is telling you, DeAndre, to do some introspection. I probably said that wrong. Look inside yourself, DeAndre. Look inside thyself. Introspect. Get around men who are in healthy relationships with themselves and their women, and learn how to exist in healthy relationships. Young lady, same for you. Get yourself some counseling and get around real women who have your best interests, who will give you the best advice and teach you how to become the healthiest version of yourself that you can be. Because this domestic violence shit has to stop. But it's domestic to me, domestic violence is at an all-time high, because it seems like unhealthy, like 50 Shades of Grey, that was a very unhealthy relationship. And it seems like unhealthy relationships are being romanticized, and healthy relationships are hard to find. What's wrong with that picture? I'm saying it again. Unhealthy relationships are being romanticized, while healthy relationships are hard to find. That's why most people gravitate toward unhealthy relationships. That's all that is put out. That's all that is seen. Unhealthy relationships instead of healthy, functional relationships that produce healthy people. So I wish both of you the best, but I do wish that you two get counseling and seek the help that you two need if you're going to remain together, even if you split up. But if a child was created, she truly is pregnant, DeAndre, step your ass up to the plate and be a good daddy. Young lady, step your ass up to the plate and be a good mother. And if you don't, both of y'all some bitches. That's all I got to say about that. All right? So, let's talk some basketball. Hi, I'm Magic Johnson, and I play the basketball. I like putting the ball inside the hole with the basketball and everything that people do with their basketball. Mainly Magic, no. So, NBA All-Star is here. And the NBA switched up its format this year. So the two players with the highest total votes are the team captains. And those team captains pick from the available All-Stars who are going to be on their team. So this year we have Team LeBron versus Team Curry. And it seems as if LeBron James' team gonna kick the shit out of Steph Curry's team. But we do have a twist. Boogie Cousins is hurt. So let me come back to that. So, Team James is Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, Kyrie Irving, Bradley Beal, LaMarcus Aldridge, Kevin Love, Russell Westbrook, Victor Oladipo, Kristaps Porzingis, and John Wall. Team Curry is James Harden, DeMar DeRozan, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Joel Embiid, Damian Lillard, Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, Kyle Lowry, Klay Thompson, Carl Anthony Towns, and Al Horford. So, Boogie Cousins got hurt the other night. I think it was a game against the Warriors, I believe. But Boogie Cousins, DeMarcus Cousins, ruptured his Achilles tendon. I saw the play. And he came down. He was going for a loose ball. When he came down kind of awkward on his heel. It was a no contact foul, meaning he had no contact with another player. And he ruptured his Achilles tendon. Out for the year, out for the All-Star game. So now, Paul George will replace DeMarcus Cousins. So I'm guessing either Kevin Love or LaMarcus Aldridge will step into the starting lineup, or even Kristaps Porzingis will step into the starting lineup to take DeMarcus Cousins' place. But you still have a team that's better and bigger and than Curry's team. Now, they have shooters. So Harden, DeRozan, Lillard, Green can shoot, Lowry, Thompson, Horford can shoot, Carl Anthony Towns. But it's just, you got Antetokounmpo, he a freak. You got Steph Curry, you got Harden, you know that. So, I don't know, man. I like Team LeBron. I like LeBron James' team better. I do. So the starting lineup was going to be Kyrie Irving, DeMarcus Cousins, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Kevin Durant. So I'm guessing since you're taking Boogie out, you're putting Paul George in. Maybe Kristaps gonna start. Maybe Kristaps gonna start. But they're talking. The headlines is LeBron and Kyrie being on the same team, and then Durant and Westbrook being on the same team. Man, this is about winning. Man, these boys want to act like bitches during this time, man. I don't know what to tell them. I just want to know who's going to be guarding who. Because Antetokounmpo can't shoot. So I put KD or LeBron. Because the people on Curry's team can't be guarded. People on LeBron's team can't really be guarded. They got the height and skill. Though they got Westbrook, Durant, and Wall. Like their bench, you got Westbrook, Wall, like Love, Porzingis, Aldridge, Beal, this team is loaded, man. This team is loaded, like for real. I just think Team James gonna be better than Team Curry. Now, Team Curry is not to be slept on. Now, initially I was like, well, Team Curry bench may be better, but then I started looking at Team James's bench and I was like, I see Victor Oladipo played himself into the All-Star game this year. Where has that talent been, Victor? But hey man, this is gonna be interesting. This is gonna be very, very, very interesting. It has me excited about watching the All-Star game itself. But I'm not going to forget that it's Black History Month. Black folk, it's still Black History Month. Don't let sports and stuff make you forget about Black History Month. Still Black History Month. So I want y'all to tell me, man, who y'all think got the better squad. I want y'all to comment on the post. FreedomTrainRadio.com, comment on the post, or tweet me at Joe Ward, or send me a message on Instagram, Freedom Train Network. Tell me,
who you think got the better squad and why, and who you think can win and why. I say Team Bron because I think they got more of the better players. I think that I do. Klay Thompson lead the league in threes. Not take nothing away from these boys. Because we know Antetokounmpo. We know about Antetokounmpo. We know about Harden. You know what I'm talking about? We know about Draymond. We know about Klay. We know about Horford. Karl Anthony Towns still got to show us a little more. We know about Lowry. We know about Lowry. We know about Lillard. We know about DeMar Rosen. We know about D-Boy. But we know about John Wall. I say the weak spot for Team LeBron is Oladipo. The weak spot is Oladipo. If I could have got DeRozan, or I could have got Lillard, somebody, I would have got that over Oladipo. But, man, look at here. So, the starting lineup for Curry would be Curry, Rosen, DeMar DeRozan, James Harden, Antetokounmpo, and then Embiid. The boys just look, man. The boys look. And so as far as size, you got Embiid, Antetokounmpo, Karl Anthony Towns, Horford. I guess you could say Draymond Green. It's Team Curry ain't bad. Don't get it twisted. It's gonna be a good game. Team Curry ain't bad. Now, if you're really looking at these players, Team Curry ain't bad. Now you got Harden, DeRozan, Curry, Antetokounmpo, and Embiid. That's not bad. But it ain't better than Durant, Davis, James, Cousins, and Irving. And even if you take Cousins out, you put Paul George in that bitch. So, it's going to be interesting to watch NBA All-Star Game. It's going to be very, very, very interesting to watch to see how it all shakes out. Now, hopefully this format, you know, kind of improves the All-Star experience. I always, in my opinion, NBA has one of the best All-Star weekends. Damn sure better than the Pro Bowl. Oh, yeah, NFL Pro Bowl is happening. Yeah. NFL Pro Bowl. So moving on. Want to talk about LeBron James. Want to give LeBron James props for becoming the, I want to, little man in the shirt, go ahead and get my audience together, y'all. Give LeBron James props for being the youngest person in NBA history to reach 30,000 points. One time for LeBron. So, before LeBron reached his feet, he sent himself a message on Instagram congratulating himself for being the youngest person to reach 30,000 points. I'm listening. See, this is my problem with the white folk on this sports radio, man. Because first of all, these are the white people who love black culture but never take the time out to try to understand black people and try to be cool with it and try everything about them is black and cool, but you know, it'd be the underlying the shots and stuff. So LeBron James is cocky and arrogant. Something wrong with LeBron James for congratulating his younger self and writing messages, but congratulating himself for reaching the 30,000 point plateau before he reached it. Hey man, that's that man's social media account. Now, I understand you other journalists have nothing better to do with your lives. I understand that. I understand your lives are that lame that you really have nothing to do but sit around and wait on somebody like LeBron to do stuff so you have stuff to talk about. But I'm going to need y'all crackers to get a life. I really am. I'm really going to need you crackers to get a life. I really going to need you all to stop sitting down trying to analyze every goddamn thing somebody do. Who cares? Like, I know I do sports, and I know this is a sports show, but we ain't going to be talking about that dumb shit on the sports show. Like, we're not going to be on that pussy shit on the sports show. We're not talking about that trivial, stupid shit that nobody should really give a shit about. And who cares that LeBron sent himself an Instagram message thanking himself and congratulating himself? Who cares? Now, why is that such a big deal, and why y'all crackers got a problem with it? You mean tell me that's how fucked up your life is? That's how lame you are in life? Like, you mean tell me you don't have nobody to have sex with? You mean tell me you don't have nothing else going on in your life but sit around and worry about LeBron James sending himself a message? He's arrogant. He's this, he's that. He shouldn't have done that. This is hurting his image. And you bitch-ass Skip Bayless.
He will never be Michael Jordan. He wants to be Michael Jordan.
I told y'all, man, Skip Bayless has LeBron James tattooed under his eyelids. Skip Bayless has a shrine of LeBron James in his closet. And Skip Bayless has LeBron James' face tattooed in his booty hole. He do. Skip Bayless wears LeBron James pajamas. He has LeBron James cereal. Skip back, and I'm talking about the full-on adult pajamas with the feet in the hoodie. Skip Bayless has an unhealthy lust for the loins of LeBron James. Because that's the only reason you can find a way to talk about a man on a regular basis, when you don't even have to talk about him. As sensitive as Skip Bayless is, that shit is hilarious. But LeBron James is the youngest person to reach the 30,000 point plateau. One time for you, LeBron. One time. And anybody who got a problem with how you handle your business, man, fuck them, dog. Fuck them. That's why I exist. That's why shows like me exist. So we can give the stories of people, black people, in good light. And we don't have to worry about the opinion of the caucuses. Yeah, I said it. The opinions of the caucusoids, who pretend to love black people and black culture, but behind closed doors don't give a shit about you and be talking to you. The caucuses. Told y'all we keep it real on this show now. Told y'all we keep it real. So LeBron James, 30,000 points, man. Hey, and he did that against the Spurs. So that's what's up. So he's the first person in NBA history to have 30,000 points, 7,000 assists, and 7,000 rebounds. Eat that, Michael Jordan. Stop comparing Bron and Jordan. They're two different people, man. They're two different people. So the only other active player who's ahead of LeBron James on the 30,000 list is Dirk Nowitzki with 30,808. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the all-time leading scorer. He has 38,387 points. Karl Malone has 36,928 points. Kobe Bryant has 33,643. Michael Jordan has 32,292. Wilt Chamberlain has 31,419. So, LeBron, if you're going to reach Dirk, Kareem, you got a long way to go, but I think with your longevity and the way you've been playing, because LeBron James could still reinvent himself in the way he played the game. LeBron James could reinvent himself into a total big man at this point if he wants to. Like, dude is in year 15 and he's still the number one option on his team. Think about that. Year 15 and LeBron James is still clearly the number one option on his team. He hasn't even gotten to the point to where he really had to reinvent himself. Dwayne Wade has to reinvent himself. Carmelo Anthony has to reinvent himself if he wants to continue. Players have to reinvent themselves if they want to continue. LeBron James hasn't even reached that point in his career where he has to reinvent himself. In year 15, he's still the number one option. So just shout out to LeBron, man, and everything that he's done, everything he's doing, especially all the community work that LeBron James does. Shout out to that more so than anything else. Shoot, let me stretch, let me get my stretch on, because it's time for my weekly rant, and it's aimed at fuck-ass, bitch-ass, child-molesting-ass, Larry
Fuckboy Nassau. This is my first half of my rant. Bitch boy Larry Nassau. Larry Nassau, and all you motherfucking people who got a problem with the way the judge was speaking to him during the trial, y'all some hoes. Fuck you and your feelings. Fuck Larry Nassau and his feelings. You wasn't worried about the feelings of the young girls that he was molesting. But I do got some questions, though. How the hell was this allowed to go on for 30 motherfucking years? How was he allowed to molest women across the board, 30 years, children and parents? Ain't nobody slapped the shit out this cracker? Ain't nobody put this cracker on Front Street? Ain't nobody jumped this cracker? Ain't nobody shoot this cracker? Ain't nobody do nothing to this cracker? In 30 years? Come on, man. This whole thing is not right. This whole thing is messed up, man. You can't tell me that this sucker-ass nigga was able to operate 30 years, nobody did anything until these young, little bitty old young girls had the courage to step up and step out and speak up. But parents were being molested, and ain't nothing happened. So apparently, not only is Nassau sentenced to the rest of his fucking life in jail, Michigan State is under investigation, and all Olympic directors were fired. These are some of the fallouts of this Larry Nassau shit. I hope Larry Nassau get raped every day, 5 times a day in prison. Don't give him no protection. Don't give him no protection. I hope Larry Nassau gets raped every day, 5 times a day. They should chop the head of his penis off and just let him bleed for a couple hours. Just sit there and let that motherfucker bleed for a chop. Take some scissors and cut. Take some dull scissors and sit there and hold him down and cut the head of his meat off. And just sit there and let his ass bleed. Fuck you, Larry Nassau, and everybody else who facilitated the molestation of these women over these 30 motherfucking years. America has a sick fucking problem. This country, this world has a sick fucking problem. And men like Larry Nassau make men like me madder than a motherfucker. And I want to kick his motherfucking ass for being a motherfucking molester. But how was he able to operate for 30 years? So if we find out that these parents were covering these things up just so they look, those little girls can be famous and parents can benefit. Because I'm suspecting that shit. And the reason why I'm saying it because I'm suspecting it. And if I find out that happens, whoa, some heads gonna motherfucking roll. I might jump in my car and go punch some motherfuckers in their face. Ain't no way something like this could go on for 30 years. For 30 years? Larry Nassau looks like the only two ways he can get vagina is through paying for it or molestation. You bitch boy Larry Nassau. Let me read this. The former doctor of the American gymnastics team, Dr. Lawrence, they gonna use this motherfucker whole name. Nah, your name Dr. Fuckboy Nassau. Dr. Fuckboy, he got his PhD in fuckboyology. He was sentenced to 40 to 175 years in prison on Wednesday for multiple sex crimes, capping an extraordinary 7-day hearing that drew more than 150 young women publicly to confront him and speak on their abuse. They should have been slapping the shit out of Larry motherfucking Nassau, bitch boy. Judge Rosemary Aquilina, who had opened her courtroom to the young women, including several prominent Olympic athletes, bluntly made clear that Nassar, who was 54, was likely to die in prison. Good. Take them dull scissors and cut his meat off. I don't care how long it takes to cut the dick off. take those scissors and cut his dick off. I like what she said. I just signed your death warrant because you's a bitch. And your death warrant needs to be signed, Dr. Larry Nassar, a.k.a. Dr. Fuckboy with a PhD in fuckboyology. Send up here molesting motherfuckers. Fuck is wrong with you, man? I elbow you right in your mouth. You can really catch these hands, Larry Nassar. If I see your friends in the street, I'm swinging on. If I see your kids in the street, I'm swinging on. If I see your wife in the streets, I'm going to get my Auntie Pearl going to beat your wife fast, Larry Nassar. I'm going to Gainesville, and I'm going to get my Auntie Pearl, and me and my Auntie Pearl, we're going to ride through. Any woman that you was associated with that covered this shit up, my Auntie Pearl going to fuck her up, and any dudes that you was with, I'm fucking them up. Auntie Pearl, you ready? We're going to whoop some ass. Given an opportunity to address the court before sentencing, Nassar apologized to the women and occasionally turned to them in the courtroom and saying,
Your words these past several days have had a significant effect on myself, and I have shaken me to my core. I will carry your words with me for the rest of my days.
Fuck you, man. I would have slapped him for saying that. I was straight slapped him for saying that. Your words have moved. Man, your fingers moved, them sucker. Your molestation moved, people. I'm about to care about your words. About you being moved. Man, they should have did a spinal tap on that fool right there in the courtroom with no pain number. Just hold him down. Just take like a kitchen knife and just cut down the back and just do a spinal tap on him and then let somebody shit in the wound. Just sit in the wound and just let all the bile just mix with the goddamn blood and vital arteries and shit. And you just goddamn going to cardiac arrest in the courtroom. And when you're dying, we just kick you in your chest just to bring you back to life just a little more so we can shit in your face and piss on you and bring a cement truck into the courtroom and run over his face with the cement truck and then cement his head. Just cement his whole head. While he's trying to breathe, and right before he passes out, break the cement and let him come back and breathe and just keep doing fucked up shit to him. I can think of a whole lot of fucked up shit to do to Larry Nassar. I just dangle him over an alligator pit with nothing but the little rest of his little meat hanging out. Just let alligators just grab on his little meat, just hang on and twist it off. It ain't gonna be much. Because Larry Nassar got to have a little meat to be molesting people, right? You sick fuck. Just before sentencing Nassar, the judge read reports of a letter he submitted to the court last week that contrasted with his stated contrition. In the letter, he complained about his treatment in a separate federal child pornography case and wrote that his accusers in the case were seeking news media attention and money. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned, he wrote in the letter, eliciting audible gasps from the spectators when the judge read the line. Judge Aquilina had emerged as a fierce advocate for the women, finished reading the excerpts and directed an ire at him. Basically, she looked at him like, you bitch-ass bitch motherfucker. Larry Nassar parents got to be some fucked up people. If not, where did he go wrong? Where did he go wrong? Men, women, people, it is not okay to be a sexual predator. It's not okay to be a predator of any sort. Larry Nassar, you's a bitch. Like, what about this was okay when you sitting there, you see a little young girl, and you like, ooh, well, let me touch her cooch. Man, please. Larry Nassar, you lucky. You lucky you ain't got to deal with me, sucker-ass. You sucker-ass cracker. I make motherfuckers stick their hand in your asshole and grab something and just pull. Just pull your insides out straight from your asshole. I make people do that. It's just take a big, I find the biggest motherfucker I know and make him just stick his hand in your asshole and just grab something to pull. I hope Hopefully he grab all your intestines, just pull them out your asshole. You sick fuck, Larry Nassar. You deserve to be set on fire from the inside. So, like, somebody should cut you open, set your ass on fire from the inside, and sew you back up, and just watch you smoke from the inside. Just watch your ass turn well done from the inside, Larry Nassar. You deserve to have, like, buzzards come and just pick at your insides. You deserve the worst treatments ever. You's a fuckboy, Larry Nassar. Like, who, like, how fucked up are you in life and in your head and emotionally, psychologically, for you to have a young girl laying on your counter who's an athlete who has an injury, and you decide, well, I think I'm gonna take advantage of this situation and touch her on her vagina. What? You a sick bitch, Larry Nassar. You's a sick bitch. You can catch these hands anytime. I will run you over with my truck and back up and do that shit again. And back up and do that shit again. And back up and do that shit again. You's a bitch. And anybody who ate, because you know he was aided. That's how you, there's no way a man can go on molesting people for 30 years in this realm and not be aided. Who was aiding Larry Nassar? Somebody was aiding Larry Nassar. And I want to find out, because whoever was aiding Larry Nassar, they getting fucked up. We're going to find them and they need to be fucked up. Fucked all the way up, B. Fucked all the way up, B. Because there is no excuse for this type of behavior. It is fucking disgusting. Larry Nassar, you are disgusting. You're not even human. You're below human. You're a fucking disgusting piece of fucking trash. You're not even good enough to be white trash. You fucking disgusting ass cracker. You, Larry, bitch boy, Nassar. Of the third kind. You fucking disgust me. Cracker ass cracker, man. Then people have a nerve to try to have sympathy for him by the way the judge. Man, I don't give a shit about the way no judge was talking to Larry Nassar. Fuck his feeling, nigga. Cracker, you forfeited your feelings the moment you decide to touch the first little girl. The moment you decide that it was okay for you to put your hands on somebody against their will, that's when you forfeited any goddamn sympathy for your ass. I don't give a shit about what happens to you, you cracker. And if anybody who gives a shit about what happened to you, anybody looking for some kind of humanity or some kind of whatever, I'll slap the shit out of you too. I will backhand the fuck out of you. If you're really looking for some sympathy for some bitch boy like Larry Nassar. Fuck Larry. Man, he'll be another candidate of a person that I will sew their asshole up and just feed them. Like they said on that Wu-Tang on that skit, sew their asshole up and feed them. And while you feed them, take like those branding irons. I have like 10 branding irons in the fire at one time. And while you feeding his ass, have like his hands like suspended above his head, tied, and his feet tied, like he's stretched out and standing up, and you feeding the shit out of his ass. You got his feeding tube in his mouth. You feeding his ass. You feeding his ass. You feeding his ass. And then you take these branding irons, and you have them in the hottest fire you can have them in, so you can hold the branding irons, and then take 10 of them and you brand his ass at the same time. And all the brands say fuck boy, rapist, predator, all that shit. And take fuck boy, bitch, rapist, hoe ass, hoe, crack ass, cracker. Take all those and brand, put like 10 brands in his face. Then don't even treat the wounds. Pee on them shits. Fuck you, Larry Nassar. Alright, so the second half of my weekly rant is going toward all Gary Owens, you crack ass cracker. You just stepped over the line. And all you other motherfuckers. I don't agree with the way Monique is handling this Netflix situation. But all you motherfuckers out here who are going to take public shots at her, who are making fun of her, I ain't gonna lie, some of that shit funny. Like, the hey, my loves. See, I thought the show like that. That's kind of hilarious. But I am not out here trying to make Monique look bad. So fuck you, Gary Owens. Fuck you, Michael Blackson. Fuck you, all the rest of you people who have a problem with the way she is doing what she's doing. Right? I don't like it either. But I ain't finna go in public and try to bash her publicly. That's wrong. Fuck all y'all. Because, especially if you black. See, Gary Owens, you a white boy. You want to be black. But let me break it down to you. We don't go out of our way to make other black people look bad. So all of you people who are doing it, whether you, I'm a comedian, nah. Because when it happens to you, you try to act like a little bitch. Right? Because that's what happens when it happens to you. When somebody saying something about y'all, y'all get all sensitive and shit. It's funny how, like, a lot of you motherfuckers, like D.L. Hughley, the only one who don't really get that damn sensitive. So I give him that credit. But for the rest of you motherfuckers, y'all get so sensitive when somebody talking about you. But when it comes to you on somebody else, you all full go. I will say it again. I do not agree with a lot of the things and a lot of the ways Monique is going about doing this. But I would not try to make Monique look bad in public. And all you people who are going out of your way to make Monique look bad in public, fuck y'all. Fuck y'all. Because you ain't shit. You really not. And I hope that when you walking down the street, a bird shit in your face. You stepping some dog shit. You slip and fall in the streets. And I hope if you're carrying groceries, all your groceries fall out the bottom of your bag. Because it's just, there's a way to do things. And now we're in a day and age where you got the cameras. You got your keyboards and all the different ways to communicate. People can go videos and make audio and all these things. And everybody thinks that just because they have an opinion that they should say their opinion or give the world their opinion in the way they give their opinion. And a lot of times we don't need that shit. Why do black people sign up to be the first to make other black people look even more bad than what they already look? Why is that? Black people, y'all tell me, to Gary Owens, you better watch yourself. Watch your mouth and watch yourself. Don't let these other black folk get you messed up. You're not down. You're not a part of this. You are not, I don't care what they're talking about, some racial draft, you still a cracker. And Gary Owens, you ain't never done nothing for black people. So why are you even opening your mouth? You have never done a damn thing for black people. When black people out here going through troubles, when black people out here struggling, when black people out here getting murdered and killed, where are you, Gary Owens? Where are you? Nowhere. Somewhere trying to tell fucking jokes, trying to be funny, and trying to prosper more off of black culture and black people. And all the rest of you motherfuckers, y'all are silent when black people are being killed. Even you, Monique. Even you, Monique. You're silent when black people are being killed. So when these issues come up, now y'all want to talk. But this ain't aimed at you, Monique, even though I got to say that. I got to say when black people are being slaughtered in the street, Monique, we don't hear from you. But this isn't about you. I'm not saying nothing about that. This is about people talking bad about you in public when they don't have to. Charlamagne, you did not have to give Monique the donkey of the day, and for that I give you fuckboy of the month. You get fucked boy of the month because you're the same dude who be trying to sniff people's seat. You tried to sniff the seat J-Lo was sitting in, and you're a grown man going around talking about sucking farts out of women's assholes. Something is fucking wrong with you. Something is wrong with you. Giving Monique the donkey of the day was uncalled for. Because there wasn't no real reason for you giving her a donkey of the day just because you felt like giving her a donkey of the day. Because you want to pour more fuel to the fire. That's why you did. I will say it once again, and we even talked about it on our Freedom Train podcast. We don't agree with the way Monique is going about this so-called boycott and tirade against Netflix. But I'd be damned if I'm going to make my sister look bad out in public. I'd be damned if we're going to make Monique look bad in public. And anybody who I am trying to make Monique look bad in public, I got something for you because I will make your ass look bad. We can go with that. We can go there. We can go there. We can do that. We can do that. I don't give a fuck. But what's not going to happen is we're going to have a group of men and women who are black. Then you got to sprinkle this one cracker in, Gary Owens, who would get elbowed in the motherfucking face, who feel like this is the perfect opportunity to try to up their platforms and make fun of a motherfucker who's going through some shit. I don't agree with the way she's going through it, but I'd be damned if we're going to go, we're going to be crazy. If you got jokes, keep your jokes behind closed doors. You ain't got to be all out in public with that shit. But the fact that y'all all out in public with that shit lets me know how desperate you all are for attention as well. So I'm just saying like this. The Vegas rule for the black community. What happens in the black community stays in the black community. If you can't follow that rule, prepare for the backlash. And Gary Owens, prepare to get elbowed in the motherfucking face. Because you're not really down with black people like that. Because you ain't never did the damn thing for black people. That's all I motherfucking got to say about that, man. Hey, man. Fit Sports Podcast. The realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard. Going down every Monday right here on the Freedom Train Network. Make sure you check me out at www.freedomtrainradio.com. I am Joseph Ward the Magnificent. Hey, man, follow me on Twitter at JoeWard84. Follow the Freedom Train Network on Twitter at Freedom Train Net. Follow the Freedom Train Network on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. Subscribe to our Freedom Train YouTube channel. You can also subscribe to the Freedom Train on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. That way you can get every episode of your favorite show, which is the Fix Sports Podcast, coming right to your phone or your tablet or your computer, whatever you subscribe to it on. And that way you ain't got to go searching for us. We came looking for you. Amen. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. So, you got your fix. I got my rant out. I feel better. And you know how we do it, man. Two fingers in the air. Spit them apart. We go down. See y'all next week.
I am the greatest.
Me too.
I call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can turn it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like